Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Appreciate you hanging out. It's the Wendy's Big Show live out at American Family Fields of Phoenix as they get ready for Brewers and Mariners, the first night game in Maryvale ever. Brewers and Mariners later on tonight. Spring training live comes up right after the Wendy's Big Show gets out of here at 6 o'clock. Myself and Tim Allen will sit down with Keston Hira, also talk to J.P. Feireisen. Feireisen, a River Falls native from Wisconsin, and his friends are going to celebrate the only way Wisconsinites know how if J.P. Feireisen makes the opening day roster. Hear that coming up later on tonight on Spring Training Live along with Keston Hira. And right now, Tim Allen and I had a conversation with David Phelps, one of these guys who signed with the Brewers in the offseason, but not somebody you are going to try to see if he's going to be able to make an impact. David Phelps is going to be expected to come and make a major impact in the Milwaukee Brewers bullpen. He's pitched with the New York Yankees. He pitched most recently last year after being traded midseason with the Chicago Cubs, and he talks about just how tough it is going and playing at Miller Park against this Brewers team, one of the reasons why he wanted to come to the Milwaukee Brewers in the offseason. This is right-hander David Phelps with myself, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, and Tim Allen here on the Wendy's Big Show.
American Family Fields of Phoenix, Spring Training Live 2020. It is David Phelps. David, welcome to Milwaukee.
No, thanks for having me. It's been a good start so far. Just, you know, excited to get, I would say, to better weather, but I don't know if we're necessarily going to get that when we get up to Milwaukee.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You get to play games. That's
exactly
the biggest one.
Yeah,
you know that playing in the Midwest. You get to play games.
Yes. And especially with a roof, like, we get to actually play games.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Which is great.
Everything healthy?
No, yeah, I feel great. You know, this is, it's a unique spring for me. It's the first year in, since 2017 coming in that I've had, like, no restrictions whatsoever. So it's, you know, it's been a good start. Obviously, the results aren't quite where we want them yet, but you know, the arm feels great, and just kind of trying to stick to the process and not letting, like, the results dictate, you know, how I feel about every time I go out.
I know a lot of teams are starting to do this, mm-hmm. but I think the Brewers have been on the pioneering edge of the shuttle back and forth with the relievers, and mm-hmm. now you've got the new rule coming in. Yep. Have you thought about that as well as the situation with the Brewers?
Yeah, I mean, throughout my career, I haven't really been a guy that's been, like, a righty or lefty specialist. Last year, my numbers were skewed a little bit, but, like, I've had pretty even splits. Actually, the beginning part of my career, I was kind of reverse splits. I was better against lefties and righties, and then the last couple, it's been a little bit more even. But, you know, I don't view myself as a guy that, you know, I only get righties out or I only get lefties out, so the rule doesn't really bother me. I mean, it bothers me in a sense that, like, I don't think it's all that necessary.
Right.
But, you know, as far as the guys we have in this room, we have the ability to get guys out in a lot of different ways. And I think Craig does a really good job of putting his relievers in positions to have success. And I don't think that rule is going to change that.
So all of us on the outside are just infatuated with finding out about this pitch lab and mm-hmm. seeing the cameras behind the mound,
yep.
seeing all the numbers that you get.
Yeah.
For you being in the game for so long, mm-hmm. are there certain ones you lean on and try to look at those kind of numbers and some that you push to the side?
No, yeah, I think the interesting thing about it is if we wanted everyone to see what was going on in the lab, we'd invite you guys in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it does give us an advantage to kind of keep it close to the chest. But yeah, there are definitely numbers that, you know, you go in and you're a little bit more focused on. Obviously, myself, like you said, I've been in for a decent number of years now, and so the game is just changing. It's not up in the zone, what guys struggle down in the zone, and also how your stuff plays at those spots.
Sure.
So, and I think it's the biggest thing isn't necessarily about, like, you know, oh, this is about pitch development. This is about, like, changing what you do. It's trying to take what you do and make it better, like trying to make you a better version of yourself. And I think that's, you know, they do a great job of that here.
Right-hander David Phelps, our guest here. And David, but some, on the other hand, though, being an old school guy a little bit, some pitchers, you don't want to get overkilled with information. It's just sort of a feel thing. Maybe you take a look at some video here and there.
No, I think there's definitely a healthy balance. But at the same time, like, if you're not taking all the information and all that we have to offer, like, and using it, you know, you're just doing a disservice to yourself. Because, I mean, it's being shown, like, in this game, like, if you're not willing to try or, you know, use it to get better, like, you're going to get passed by. Like, I mean, it's, you look at it in this room alone, we have a number of young arms that are just dominant, like, impact arms just waiting. And I think that's the biggest thing is, like, we have, you know, it's just baseball in general. I think when I broke in, like, average fastball velocity was 90, 91. Now it's closing in on 95. Yeah. And I think it's just, you know, there are ways that guys are training that it's just making your arm more efficient. It's making your arm, you know, just quicker. And I think that's, you know, that's part of what's going on in the lab, part of what guys do in the off season. And if you're not taking advantage of that, it's just, I mean, you better have really good stuff.
When you talk about the fastball, somebody that's got a big one and an electric one is Hader.
Yeah.
What have you seen from him just being around him, being in the pen, seeing that ball pop through?
And I mean, obviously seeing him on the other side as well, you know, playing against him. But it's just what's amazing is when you see him in the game and it looks like it's a violent delivery. But, like, when you see him on a daily basis and you realize, like, it's not violent. Like, that's what makes it that much more impressive is just it's his ability to repeat it and just, I mean, he essentially does it with one pitch, which is amazing.
Yeah, and it's crazy.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, like I said when I signed, when I was getting interviewed, like, I played with a guy in New York who did it with one pitch, and, like, the similarities are striking. I mean, obviously, Mo did it a little bit more with command and with his cutter, and Josh just overpowers guys completely, but it's just, I mean, from, you know, playing in Chicago last year and seeing it's like, when he came in the game, it was just like, well, like, we'll see you tomorrow.
It was wraps, yeah.
No, that's what it is. I mean, that's, I think one thing that, like, is, you know, his, like, his value to a bullpen and to a pitching staff is just incredible. Just because he's not just a closer. He's not, you know, just a lefty. He's, like, you know, and the way he was used early in his career where he was, like, legitimately a fireman, where he came in, like, in any big spot, and, like, it's just put out fire. And just, like, the success that he's had is just incredible. I mean,
well, that's why guys like you and Corey and the guys, Bobby, and the guys surrounding Josh to unleash him whenever, wherever is just amazing. It's pretty cool to watch.
No, and absolutely. I think that's, you know, as a unit down in the bullpen, it's like whoever's pitching the ninth, whether it be Josh, whether it be Corey, whether it be any of us, like, our job is to get the ball to that person and give them a chance to close out a ballgame for us. And I think it's one thing that obviously they preach here and that, you know, I'm fully bought into is, like, it's not about, like, what role you're pitching in. It's just, you know, we have 27 outs to get, and, like, we're just trying to figure out where we fit in that equation. Whether it's the first out or the last out, like, as long as it ends in a W, it doesn't matter where you pitch.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So now you played, you talked about New York, mm-hmm. talked about Chicago a little bit last year. Coming into this clubhouse, this camaraderie, what's different?
It's, I think, like, I mean, like I said, I saw it in Chicago. Like, this, the Brewers would come into town, and, like, you go through scouting reports, you go through, like, you know, you see the way the game's played, and, like, you walk back into the clubhouse after you've lost, and you're just like, I mean, yeah, there's incredible talent in this clubhouse, but it's just like, there's so many nights we're like, yeah, we, you know, we just lost 3 out of 4, or we got swept. It's like, how did it happen? Like, it's just like, because it's not like, you know, this team, it's just, they gel so well together. And, like, that's what you see with teams that are really close-knit is as the season progresses, you don't have fractions. You don't have this. Like, it's, and it's one of the things we preach here is, like, you're not playing with someone, you're playing for someone. And I think that's one of the things, like, you see it play out as the season goes on. And, like, as, you know, the run they went on in September, like, it shows that, like, the guys are fully in on that.
We've talked about it a lot on the postgame, Tim, where Craig came in when he first got the job. It stuck with him and I that he said, we're going to be better teammates. Yeah. And ever since then, you've seen that in this locker room with this culture.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think it speaks volumes to the guys they brought in. I mean, I can obviously speak firsthand on Yelly playing with him in Miami. And just like, but not just the quality of baseball player, but the quality of person. But then you look around the clubhouse in general, and that's what it is. It's not just, I mean, we have incredible talent here, but it's good guys. And like, it's guys that like playing together. It's like guys that like playing for each other. And it's his coaching staff as well. It's like, you know, one of the things that you preach, you got, you know, 25 guys, 40 guys on a 40 man, and it's, you can't be individuals. Like, it has to be a family. And I think Craig does a really good job of that. And it all starts with his communication. And I mean, he, like, from first meeting of spring until even now, like, it's just, his message hasn't wavered.
Is that the reputation, though, that the Brewers under Council and Stearns have around the league?
No, absolutely. And I think, and that's kind of what I was talking about with, like, you walk back to the clubhouse after they beat you, and it was like, you know, you can't figure out what it is. You can't really put your finger on it. And I think another one of the things we talk about is, like, you know, having the other team, like, feel your presence. And, like, that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's not something like with what you do with the bat or what you do on the mound. It's just that, like, there's, this team has an air about them that, like, the togetherness that's in here, like, everyone feeds off it. And I think that's, you know, you can't put your finger on it as an opposing player playing against the Brewers, but, like, hearing Craig talk about it, I'm just like, you could not be more spot on. And, like, especially, like, feeling it on the other side is, like, your guys have bought in. Because, like, I have even talked to him about this. Like, we as the Cubs felt that. We couldn't figure out what it was, but now hearing you articulate it, like, that's exactly what it is.
That's awesome.
That's interesting.
Sending shivers down my spine as a Brewer fan. Growing up the whole life, I mean, it's just, it's a different atmosphere. And playing football, you see guys, you know, they try the different moxie of bringing the wood and all this other stuff. Sometimes it's just innate.
No, exactly.
A family.
And it doesn't have to be like, so, I mean, obviously, yeah, a lot of teams I play for, like, we have a motto of the year. And it's like, it doesn't have to be something like we wear on a shirt.
Right.
You know, because when it comes to a shirt, like, you take it on, you put it on. Like, this is something that the guys that have been here, like, they live it. And that's just, I mean, it's really impressive.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Looking forward to having more conversations with you, David Phelps, as you brought in here, be a key cog in that bullpen. And we appreciate the time.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
David Phelps. Family Fields of Phoenix, going to be a big, big factor in the back end of that bullpen if they're going to be able to get to where they want to go. Corey Knebel does not appear that he will be ready for the first month or so of the season. So David Phelps going to need to perform well there right away in the back end of the bullpen.
Phelpsy.
Guys, I thought that conversation with when he was talking about the Cubs walking into the clubhouse and saying, wait a second, what just happened here? How did we lose three or four of these guys? And it happened a lot there at the end of the year. And the Brewers were able to sneak up on some people because of the culture that they've built. And when we end up talking to David Stearns and Craig Council later on in the week, I just want to ask him what do you believe or what do you want your perception to be around the major leagues? What type of reputation do you want around the league? Because it appears that Craig Council, Sparky, when he first took this job, he said, we are going to be better teammates. And it appears that everybody around the league knows they're one of the closest-knit teams in baseball.
That's what Council wants. Council's a big believer, as I think a lot of players are, regardless of sport, that good chemistry can make a good team great and can make a not-so-good team average, an average team good. And you can overcome a lot of things, and you can overcome maybe a lack of talent in some situations. But at the same point, you can have a lot of talent, horrible team chemistry, and it can work in the exact opposite way.
Hey, Billy, I have a question for you. Do they have proper protection around 22? So if you had to put together a lineup, the first five, who you got, cuz? I know Keston here is four, right? Or is he three?
I would probably have him at three because you got to have your best three hitters end up having an at-bat in the first inning.
Okay.
So it probably goes Kane, Yelich, Hira at the top, and then four with some kind of combination of Narvaez, Braun when he's in there, maybe Garcia when he's in there. But
uh-oh,
I'm also really
shaking his head. Hold on.
I'm also really tempted to see if they end up flipping it around a little bit, the way that you were talking about. Maybe it's Hira at four, and Eric Sogard's going to be in this lineup a lot this year, and he had a ton of success batting leadoff last year.
Too.
I wonder if Sogard ends up being that leadoff guy. It's Yelich 2, Kane 3, Hira 4.
Ooh.
Does that make you feel a little bit better?
Steve, why are you shaking your head, man?
It's not going to be pretty. But
well, give me yours then.
I mean, Narvaez is going to be pretty at the plate, man.
Narvaez
is going to be pretty at the plate.
It's not going to be pretty no matter what I put out there for you. Regardless, I mean, Billy could put out 10 different versions of what his lineup is.
Well, there's going to be about 15 different lineups that you see.
Yes.
You are not going to see the same lineup day in and day out at all.
I'm okay with that until you find the right chemistry.
Well, right, but that's how they're going to win. I mean, that's the only way they can win. Because when they told you, It's about a surplus of players in numbers where they're trying to miss and match stuff, and that's how they're trying to win. It is the new way to do it in baseball when you don't have a payroll like, say, the Yankees and some of these other clubs. So this is how you have to do it.
And two, you got to worry about winning the game in front of you.
Sure.
And Counts is going to be able to do that a lot, where whether or not it's the sixth or seventh inning, the way that he's used the pitching staff the last few years is going to be very similar to the way that he uses the starting lineup this year. I mean, if there's any chance that they have to stack up left-handers against a righty, you're going to see it. They're going to be able to go fully left-handed against a right-hander.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to see it. They're going to mess around with that lineup so much with the versatility they have. And maybe it's because they just don't have the talent, and rightfully so. They're not littered with all-stars. But they got a surplus of guys that do a couple of things really, really well, and it's about maximizing it. Similar to how Matt LaFleur talked about it with the Packers. It's not always about pointing out what your guys don't do well. And Gary and Laura, you guys can talk about this. The best coaches are the ones that say, this is what you do really well. We're going to put you in the best position to show that off and help us win doing just that.
The most important thing is to that, Billy, to me, is the guy's got to buy into it, though.
100%. 100%.
And
no doubt about it.
That's the only way it works. If you're up front with these guys from the get-go, they have to buy into that.
Yeah.
And Counts has got that kind of guy because he was that dude. He was the bottom of the roster guy, but he would do whatever it took to win.
Now, does this power by Orlando Arcia, will it stay or will it? I mean, I'm shocked I see 304 batting average. And 500, I mean, I thought that was somebody else. I mean, because I'm a big Arcia fan. If he can put together a bat with the defense, I mean, not to mention he has the best hair on the team, this can be amazing if he's still down hitting like 7 and 8.
Leroy, he hit one yesterday too, and the ball is jumping off his bat a little bit differently this year, and I feel like that.
Don't
that
say that. 80, when you say it that way, people start giving you the side eye.
Yeah, the 85-year-old scout that says, you just got to hear the way this ball comes off this kid's bat. It's just totally different. He walks out of here, he's got the hottest girlfriend, he knows how to throw every right play, knows every single pitch that's coming in. But no, he looks like a little bit different player this year.
Okay.
We talk about that maybe tomorrow. Which guy
Let's
do
talk
you
about
think
it a little
can,
bit tomorrow.
Yes.
Can extend that, and which guy can fully be able to do that going into the year. Now, this coming out from Jeff Passan just a couple of moments ago, breaking news on The Fan, brought to you by Indeed.com. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Major League Baseball joining the NBA and NHL, NBA putting this out a couple of minutes ago, that they are closing clubhouses to media due to fear over potential spread of the coronavirus.
Oh, there go your interviews for the rest of the week.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly how that's going to affect us.
That's called the salads. I'll call the salads and get you in there by yourself.
At least you'll get a good tan.
That's positive.
Well, that works out. We still get to do the Wendy's Big Show live out here from American Family Fields of Phoenix and Spring Training Live. Great Lakes Dragway, Pickle Lanes, next up on The Fan, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.